Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Give me shelter, folks. It's Michael Savage on the 21st anniversary of my career in talk radio. And the reason I'm playing Jagger and the Rolling Stones and Give Me Shelter is I don't know. I do know, really. I was watching a documentary last night. Please play it. I love the music. I'd rather listen to it than talk, but okay. It was the turning point of the hippie generation. The killings at Altamont, everything changed. Within a year, the entire peace and love movement was over. Turn it off. So I'm watching the show last night done by the Maisley Brothers. I can never pronounce their names. A fabulous documentary on the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont Speedway in 1970. It's phenomenal to watch it in the year 2015 because every time I fly over or drive to L.A. from San Francisco, I see the windmills turning in Altamont, and I'm reminded of the Altamont Speedway that was there, and on the Altamont Festival with the Rolling Stones, 300,000 people, four deaths, the famous incident with the Hells Angels, the pandemonium on the stage, and the death of the peace and love movement and the beginning of what we have now in the United States of America. And as I was watching that documentary, looking into the faces of the individuals in the crowd, the women with the shirts off and the guys with the fuzzy hair and everyone getting whacked and getting undressed and drinking and this and that, I say to myself, how many of them are now conservatives? How many of those people have awakened to the world that they created? How many of those people recognize what it is they were after? I mean, we were all idealists, you know, the old saying, if you're not a socialist at 20, you have no heart. And if you're still a socialist at 40, you have no mind. That's an old saying. How many of those people, I asked myself, are still living, and how many of them are listening to talk radio to Michael Savage right now? That's just a thought I had. And how many of them recognize that the road that they were on was the road that led us to Barack Obama and the world of trouble that we are in as a result of those idealistic dreams? But maybe I'm a little far afield from where I'm going, because I was influenced by that time. I was part of that time. I lived in that time. But I diverged from that time. I took my own path and I marched to my own drummer. And here I am all of these years later on radio holding forth with stories and news and whatever. And today is no different, other than it's a special show because it's 21 years in radio. And I have very special clips. And the first one I want to play for you is the demo tape that I did in 1994 when I decided I had had enough of the world I was in and I wanted to get into the media. Ever since the early 70s, I had had books published on issues of health and nutrition. And my first book was called Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, which I think is still in print somewhere, published in 1972 by Macmillan Publishing. It's a fabulous book. I gave it my heart and soul. And I went on a book tour, and everywhere I went, I would meet radio announcers. In those days, radio announcers were very big. They're not big anymore. They were big. They were giants in the media. And you'd walk into studios, and their pictures would be more than life-size on the walls of the halls of the radio studio. Well, those days are over. And when I go on those shows and do my book tour and talk about my book, one after the other would say, you know, you have a great voice and a great persona. Why don't you get into radio? That would be like saying to someone, why don't you become an astronaut? I would say to them, what do you mean, how do I get into radio? How do you get into radio? It's impossible. I had no idea. And then as the years went on and I published other books, I would do book tours. And again, people in the media would say, hey, Savage, you really got a great voice. You really ought to get into the media. Well, anyway, here we are. I'm in the media 20 years now, 21 years, as a matter of fact, to this day. And so back in the day, in 1994, I got so angry at the political situation and I so wanted to be in radio that I cut a fake radio show in a studio in Sausalito, California. It's still there, Command Productions. In fact, I just had a little job done with them. It's in the old Kaiser Shipyard buildings. And I went in a studio and I had friends call as though they were callers. And I sent it out to 475 radio stations. And the demo tape attracted 3 to 5 program directors who said, "Hey, kid, you're good. Would you like to be on my station?" And one of the stations that called was in Boston, Massachusetts. I think it was RKO. I didn't want to move. I was living out here in San Francisco. And one of the stations that called was here in San Francisco on KGO Radio. And they said, "Hey, you're really good. Why don't you do some fill-in work?" And I did some fill-in work. It led to full-time work and went to KSFO. And they created the station, which is now thriving in the Bay Area. And now I'm on 250 stations with Cumulus all these years later. And frankly, if you listen to these tapes, tell me if you think my voice or energy has changed. If anything, it's gotten better. So let's go back in time. Imagine now we're moving back to 1994, and you're me, and you have no idea, you have no contacts in the radio business. You're going to make a tape, and you're going to send it out to program directors. Here's what it sounded like in clip number one.
And now, direct from the towers above Manhattan, it's the Michael Savage Show. To the right of Rush and to the left of God, and now, Michael Savage.
I'm glad I can be with you 7 nights a week, because these stories are just not going away. I mean, every day, in every way, we're getting assaulted. Look at these questions before us today. Look at the questions before us. You know, they say that I'm to the right of Rush.
So, to the right of Rush, to the left of God. It's still true, by the way. It's still true. It's still a great logo. All right, so that was one piece. Just a starter, I'm going to give you a taste. In the next one, we're going to go to clip number 7. Thanks for catching that, Robert, in a minute. This is from 321.94. This is my first full night filling in on KGO Radio, which was the worst experience of my entire life. Clip 7, please.
I'm Michael Savage sitting in. Stick around, you're not going to sleep tonight. Listen, have you seen the 10 lawsuits filed by the U.S. government to protect incompetent workers? Or the call to let police stop likely suspects on the street, frisk them and seize their weapons just without any provocation? Believe me, you're not sleeping tonight. There have been about 10 lawsuits filed by the U.S.
Stop there. So you see, I was somewhat of a libertarian right there, if you'll notice. I wasn't a knee-jerk conservative even there on the first radio show. It didn't help me very much with the commie audience that was listening. And now here's the centerpiece. By the way, later on, if you stay with me, you're going to hear my mother, while she was still living, calling in the radio show from Florida and giving us her secret on longevity. We'll have childhood stories such as Dead Man's Pants, Loved by the Sewer Plant, Louie and the Monkey, The Chestnut Man, Two Finger Teacher, Shady Podiatrist and the Jaguar, etc. I know everyone loves the family stories. We're going to have all of those and more, as well as all breaking news, including the plane crash, which is a very suspicious plane crash, incidentally, with a lot of cover-up right now. They're not talking about the loud noises that were heard from the ground before the plane went down, which leads many to believe that there's foul play involved. But I want to go now to the keynote piece of today's show. This has never been heard since the day it was done. It's not on YouTube. It's found nowhere. It's a rare interview with Sam Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb. He was on my show on May 31, 1999, when I was a local host on KSFO radio, before I became national. Here's Sam Cohen, the designer or inventor of the neutron bomb, with Michael Savage. Let's listen. Right now, without any further introduction, we have Samuel Cohen. Dr. Cohen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dr. Cohen, you actually developed the neutron bomb, is that correct?
I developed the concept. I didn't screw the thing together. I could barely screw in a light bulb.
Well, I can appreciate that. So you are a theoretical physicist, is that?
I was trained that way, yes.
Okay. What is a neutron bomb?
Well, with all due respect to Edward Teller, who's an old acquaintance of mine, going on back to World War II at Los Alamos, who doesn't seem to know about it or even have heard about it, a neutron bomb is the antithesis of the hydrogen bomb that Teller has been called the father of. And instead of laying waste, to practically whole countries and theoretically even exterminating of the world with long-lasting radioactivity and so on and so forth. What the neutron bomb is intended to do is to be able to be used in a ground war, and these things go on apace, and they always have throughout human history, but to use this weapon in a fashion that lives up to the so-called Christian just war principles, which are based on the premise that if wars are to be fought, unfortunately, that the most moral thing to do is to separate the enemy, the aggressor, from the civilian populace, the alleged innocents, so that when all these weapons have been used, the enemy will have been decimated by the neutrons coming out of the bomb, and so that all their tank units would be put out of action. But on the other hand, with respect to the civilians, who in conventional warfare have always been involved with the war itself and had their cities bombed, shelled into oblivion. And now let me just pause and say we're repeating that right now over in the Balkans. And it bothers me.
It kills me to see what we're doing to the civilian population, I'll tell you that.
It's heartbreaking.
That's a piece of the interview with Sam Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb, and it gets even better. But the thing that you should know about this politically is that we once had a nuclear bomb arsenal, which was dismantled by the first George Bush. We no longer have neutron bombs, but as I understand it, China does, Russia does, and other nations do. Think about that sad story. It's a weapon that's horrendous. But the Pope called it a humane weapon at the time for the reasons that Dr. Cohen described. So there's a sampling, a savage sampler of some of the chocolates of the day. When I come back, we'll have additional great calls. Great pieces, including ones you've asked for. We have the caller, Joe, who was going to commit suicide until I talked him off the edge. Caller Sid on being tortured in World War II by the Germans. I did a show on parental abuse, and he said, I wasn't abused by my parents, I was abused by the Nazis, but they couldn't break me, and he told us what they did to him. I guarantee you he's still listening. And then I'm going to invite you, the listeners, to call the show with comments, questions. I don't know what you want to do. It's your show, really. Without an audience, there's no show. And my phone number is 855-400-7282. I'd like you to join the 21st anniversary show of the Savage Nation and become part of history, because I guarantee you this show itself is being recorded, will be recorded, will be somehow logged or archived by many people for various and sundry callers. And I don't know who you may be. I don't know why you're listening, but I'd like you to go back in time for those of you who have been listening to this show since 1994, and give the audience some memories of the early Savage, the current Savage, what you think about the show. Maybe you met somebody through the show and got married, because I know that happened. I know it happened at least twice. Maybe you were a little girl sitting in your father's car and didn't even know what you were listening to, but your father had you listen to the Savage Nation, and now your father is gone and you're still here, and you're a devotee of the show. I'd like to hear from all of you. Phone number 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Stones, and they're still around, which is utterly amazing. Performing as they do. In their 70s, the amount of drugs and alcohol that went down that system would defy logic that the men are still living and performing. It's amazing, isn't it? But there's no generalization that you can make from that. They're just these tough, piratic type of Englishmen. These are the type that they put on ships and conquered the world with. That's how I see it. But watching that documentary, Give Me Shelter, last night, and watching the crowd of 300,000 people, I literally felt what it was like when I did my little performances in front of 2,000 people. It's much different, by the way, than performing on radio where there are millions of listeners and you don't see them. I'm in a studio alone with a 10-pound poodle. I don't know who's out there. I can only sense it. I can feel it. It's not that I lose touch. In many ways, I have more of a touch with the people than people who do perform live, for whatever the reason may be. But I remember what it's like to perform live, and watching Gimme Shelter last night, I wanted to be on stage again. I wanted to see you. I wanted to see the crowd. I wanted to see the eyes. I wanted to see people breathing. I wanted them to meet each other and hang out with each other, etc. As I did in the predated the Tea Party movement, whether you want to accept it or not, with my early compassionate conservative conventions. You remember them in the 90s at the Marin County Civic Center, the Oakland Airport Hilton? Each one had a theme, try 'em and fry 'em. I can't even go into these things we did, Saving the Real Private Ryan. Some of the greatest events. The people were so happy to meet each other. It was a carnival of conservatives. And then, for whatever the reason is, I did my last live performance in 1995, I think. Can you believe that? At the Chronicle Pavilion. And we had 7,000 people. I outdrew Sheryl Crow, the rock and roll singer, at the same venue. I did three acts. Oh, by the way, I found the demo tape for that. It's inexpensive. I'm not going to make any money on it. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. I made 100 of them. Big deal. If you want a copy, you can get it there. Three live acts. It's unbelievable. But I think I'm going to do another live act. Anyway, when I come back, the anniversary show continues. I got callers you will not believe waiting in queue. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I now have the smell of the Thai food that just arrived in my radio studio. I'll have to eat it during a break. I have power lunches during breaks. I've been able to power down 2 Chinese meals in 4 minutes, which is my new world record. But the age of the reclusive savage may be coming to a conclusion very soon. I have a desperate, almost desperate need to get out there and see you. I keep thinking I want to do a tour of the cities. Then I start it, then people start to put it together, and I back out for security reasons primarily, because we live in an insane world. And the less incendiary hosts can do a tour and do very well, because they don't really ruffle any feathers. But those of us in the business who ruffle feathers by telling the truth need something special between us and the madness, don't we? And that something special is isolation. It's the price we pay. But getting back to the 21st anniversary show, if you just joined us, you missed a few good things. I want to go now to a caller, and then we're going to go to some special old tapes that we have from the 90s. We began in 94. Let's go to WEZS Radio. Robin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm calling from Virginia. I'm listening online at WEZS, like you said. Favorite show ever. I'm driving home from church, and you call your mother, and you want to ask her what is the secret to longevity of life.
You remember that show?
Oh, Dr. Savage, I remember all your shows. I love all your stories.
My mom passed away about 10 years ago. I don't know the exact year anymore. But I had spoken to her a few years before she passed away. She was 83 at the time when she was still healthy, relatively healthy. And I did ask her that question. And don't give the answer away to the audience, because we're going to play the tape in a few minutes. They're not going to believe it, because she has a better sense of timing than I do. She caught me off guard, and she cracked me up with her answer. Remember that answer?
Yes, I do. And you were so shocked. You were like, oh, that wasn't what I was expecting, Ma.
Well, Robin, let me do this. Anyone who gets on the show today, I'm going to give a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. So, Jim, take the young lady's address, and we'll get it out to the Fulfillment House. Let's do this. I think this is a perfect segue to a very, very special piece of the memory of today's show, or very special memory for the show, and that would be going back in time to Mama Savage. I don't know the exact year. Mama Savage, on her secret to longevity, just a few minutes long. Let's listen in, and let's set the clock back right now on the Savage Nation. Mother Savage, I was talking with my audience about fond memories and things that influenced me, and I remember the day you took me and Alan to Radio City Music Hall. Do you remember here how radio was done behind the scenes?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember when they rattled the big piece?
The NBC tour.
The NBC tour.
Right.
And they show you with the horse's hooves to make it sound like a horse on a...
Right.
And then they rattled a piece of metal to make it sound like thunder.
Right.
And then where did you take us to eat? Do you remember where you would take Alan and I to eat?
Oh, we went to the Automat.
No. Well, the Automat was one place. How about when you took us to the Floridian?
Oh, my God. That's right.
Remember they whipped...
Floridian, the Californian.
Now, you see, you're in Florida and I'm in California. There was something there. But they whipped the eggs up. What I liked about it is you made eggs. I mean, I don't want to put you down, but they were just eggs. They were flat like everyone else's eggs. But when you went into this place, they had a way to make the egg go up like in a pyramid.
They put something in the eggs to make it puffy.
Yeah, I would have been a foot taller if I didn't eat those eggs, probably what they put in there.
They were delicious. You can't get that kind of food again.
No. Ma, let me ask you this. What was the name of the Italian chain in New York that was Romeo's 50-cent spaghetti that we'd go to, 50 cents a plate? What was it? Was it Romeo's?
I remember now, Romeo's.
Remember, it was pretty inexpensive, and it was a chain, and we would go in every once in a while, and it was always...
Expensive a plate.
Yeah, but was it Romeo's spaghetti?
I think it may have been that.
What did you eat in there?
Spaghetti. I still love it.
How do you... You're 83, right?
Right.
But you're not on a low-fat diet. You never have been.
I'm not what?
You're not on a low-fat diet. I mean, you still...
I should be.
You should be. But the truth is, you and I, once I got my PhD in nutrition, I'd come to your house and you'd always cook the same fatty foods, and I would say, how can you do that? And you always ate it, but God bless you. What else? You like on a Saturday, what do you eat when you go out?
French fried potatoes.
You're 83 years old. You eat French fried potatoes, and what else do you have with it? What other light bite?
Frankfurters. Sauerkraut.
Oh, I love you. But let me ask you, truthfully, you don't smoke or drink, right?
No.
In your life, did you smoke?
No.
Yeah, I saw once you did when you were 30. You took a cigarette.
Just to show off. Just to show off.
But, so in other words, you think
I
that it's...
inhale.
So in other words, what you didn't inhale like Bill Clinton. Is that what you just said? You didn't inhale. What, were you and Bill Clinton?
No, I didn't inhale.
You didn't inhale. And the president said that. Look what it did for him.
No, I never had any vices.
You never had any vices. But, Ma, what do you think...
All I did was eat food.
So you can eat anything, but what do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more more sex you have is better.
They're not 83.
No, you can't argue with that. So you think...
Not at all.
So in other words, if I have no sex for the rest of my life, I could eat French fries and hot dogs and I'll be okay.
I hope so.
It's not a bad trade-off, I'll tell you the truth. With the problems that sex brings in a person's life, I think I'd rather have French fries and frankfurters, to be frank with you.
Well, that was that. That was very funny. And soon thereafter, she got sick and went to heaven. And here we are. Yesterday, we had a call in the Savage Nation of a man from WBAP in Dallas who said that the greatest loss he's had in his life, it wasn't about loss, it was about disillusionment. His disillusionment actually was sadness of his loss of his parents. And he said sometimes to this day, he tries to call them, and he does it out of a rote memory, muscle memory, and they're not there. He dials the number and is disconnected. Believe me, that's what happens when your parents pass away, is that you continue to want to talk to them if you had any relationship with them, but they're not there to talk to. So be nice, boys and girls, because one day you're going to wish you were nice to them while they were still living. That's the rules of the road, by the way. All right, now that leads us, I think, if we're going to just do this on an intuitive level, to another piece that I hope we have, Robert. Do we happen to have one pasta with spaghetti somewhere? I think you can find it. While you're looking for it, let me explain this one to you. I was on a flight from San Francisco to New York. I don't know when it was, in the 80s. And I was drinking heavily because I used to drink very heavily. I don't do that anymore on airplanes. You used to be able to drink. I used to like to drink on a plane to calm down. We got into a lightning storm. And it was a 737, and things started to bounce around. I started to, I don't know, I like kind of things like that. I asked the stewardess at the time, or the flight attendant, what you call them today, give me two more of those little white bottles. She didn't care. Those days, they would, when you get in a storm there, they didn't sit down and tell you to buckle down and tape you to a seat and threaten you to arrest you. They gave you drinks if you wanted them. So I said, give me two more of those bottles before it gets really rough. And I started to write a poem entitled When Pasta Was Spaghetti. Do we have that at all? Yes? So here's it. Here's the song, When Pasta Was Spaghetti, the poem that should be a song on the Savage Nation. We're playing Italian music because I have a treat for you. I found the poem, When Pasta Was Spaghetti, in my archives. It was written, let's see, Michael Savage, August 1985, written in a lightning storm at 40,000 feet over Cheyenne, Wyoming. When I thought the plane was going to crash, I wrote When Pasta Was Spaghetti. So here it is, whether you like it or not, all right? So you liberals get ready to sneer. And you sane people get ready to enjoy it because it's a wonderful poem. So play the music again. Go ahead. They got the mood. We got the mood set up. It's called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. And try to imagine it, all right? The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture. An offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then. In neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged over window on a cold winter's eve, there was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smile scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Play the music, basta. Yes, we're having some good times here on the Savage Nation, celebrating my 21 years in radio, a milestone to those who understand what it is to be 21 years in anything and survive and thrive. And if you care to join the program, which will be memorable in many ways, the phone number is, I'm sorry to say, sold out. But stay tuned for some other surprises right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Savage Nation, 21 years. You know, the song is called Gimme Shelter. And my audience is my shelter. In this tumultuous, insane world that I live in, you are my shelter. That's the amazing thing. People would think the opposite is true. They think a performer would like to retreat and run from the audience. And yet, the 3 hours a day that I spend with my audience is my sanctuary. The other 21 hours is the ordinary struggles and tribulations of being a human. And the 3 hours on the air are the greatest days of the hours of the day, frankly. And I want to thank you for all these incredible years that you've given me. And I have to remember, although I'm alone in a studio and not knowing who's out there, I know the show's on hundreds of stations and I know what the ratings are like. I have to remember that in the average quarter hour of this program, there are more people listening than would fill the Yankee Stadium in New York City. Do you know that? You don't realize how large a radio audience really is. It's awesome. It's larger than Fox News at any 15-minute time frame. And so the reach is extraordinary, and therefore the responsibility is pretty awesome when you think about it. You can lose your balance if you actually remember it. On the other hand, many people in the business lose their balance by not remembering it. They have no idea that they're talking to millions of people a week and hundreds of thousands every quarter hour. It's an awesome responsibility. And what I try to give you, and what I've tried to give you all these years, is a combination of, look, the news you can get anywhere. When I started radio, there was no internet. Do you know that? There was no internet. We used to have to get our news from newspapers, magazines, and a thing called wires, where a producer would run out from the newsroom with printouts from Associated Press and, would you believe it, UPI, with the latest news stories, and we'd read them on the air. But we weren't the newsroom. We were talk radio. So what is talk radio? What is its function in society? Why does it continue to exist? Why are there still huge audiences for talk radio? I'll let you decide. I have my own ideas on it. I can expound on it, but I don't have to tell you what you already know. You're the listener. You would know better than I do. But the fact is, now you can get the news in 10 seconds or less from three different websites that are fabulous, the same websites I go on. You don't need me to read headlines from the Drudge Report, do I? Do you? No, I don't do that. Now, he's a friend of mine. I love the site. I use it. But that's not what you're tuning in for. You're tuning in for something else. You're tuning in for someone who can synthesize the news and put it together in a daily life and incorporate perhaps, well, in my case, how I see it, a man in life at this time watching the news, living the news, living in America. In other words, the radio show is in some ways an oral continuation of my journal writing, which I started way back when. Remember I told you I have archives going back to 1964 of handwritten journals, which one day will see the light of day? Well, I stopped writing these journals when I started my radio show. I haven't had a journal ever since then. I paint a few pictures here and again, but I don't keep a written journal because this show is my journal. This show is my journal, and you are my friends along the way. And maybe my observations match yours, maybe they don't. In some ways, I fulfill a role in society that is long gone. I've compared myself to the uncle who used to come to the Sunday dinners when there were still families that would have Sunday dinners. And there was always the uncle who would come over and argue with everybody on Sunday. He'd just sit and argue with everybody, and you would hate him. You'd hate him, but grudgingly you'd love him because he was right. You knew he was right, and you never could get the best of him. And you couldn't wait till the dinner was over to be away from that uncle. And then by about Wednesday, you start looking forward to that Sunday dinner with that ornery Dutch uncle who was going to be there to argue with you with your views of the world. And that's the Savage Nation for many people, with Uncle Michael Savage. Of course, there are other roles of talk show hosts, but it's not strictly giving you information. You can get the information faster than I can give it to you. It's a merging of the heart, the soul, and the mind. More when I return right here on the Savage Nation for the 21st anniversary program.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, the 21st anniversary edition on March 24th, 2015. Thanks, guys. Give him some shoe shine polish and we'll see him after the program. If you just tuned in, of course, I've been telling you about the history of the show, but I played little pieces of pretty good interviews, one with my mom when she was still living, on her explanation for her longevity, which was unbelievable how fast she was on that one. My first demo tape that I sent out to the world, and a piece of my first radio show from 3/21/1994, if you can believe that. If it was on 3/21/1994, why am I making March 24th my anniversary? I don't know. Probably should have been on 3/20/321. I'm starting to realize I'm off by 3 days. But then again, that would have been on Sunday when you weren't listening. But here we are. We had other things that I played. But right now, what I want to do is go to some of the callers who are dying to speak to you. through the magic of the radio program on various topics to do with the 21 years of this radio show and talk radio in particular, and specifically Michael Savage's radio show. So let's begin with Chris on WABC. Chris, what makes you call this day?
Hey, how are you, Michael? This is Chris here from New York, Long Island. I was just calling. I remember I talked to you back in 2007, I believe. I was on my way to Jersey to meet my now wife, who I actually had a child with also, and we were on social media at the time. It was the MySpace, and we actually met through politics, and it actually was your book. I think I had wallpapered up Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And
So because of reading my book and listening to my show, you met your wife?
Well, you know, it was funny. She sent me an instant message. She met me through a mutual friend on that page, on the MySpace page that she had. And she had saw my interest in the books I read and wanted to be in it. It was one of your books, and she sent me an email about that. It wasn't about, hey, oh, you're a good-looking guy or anything like that. It actually was about more of a political thing.
And how did the marriage work out? Well, I hope.
It has. We've had our challenges.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Yeah. Well, yesterday I talked about disillusionment. Did you hear that show?
I heard some of it because I have my 10-month-old son, and I get yelled at for having it on all the time.
Uh-oh. Well, as Naomi Wolf wrote, the gap is closed. The lover embraces only his own disillusion. I hope that doesn't apply to your marriage.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. But yesterday's show on disillusionment, you'd have to say, is one of the things that makes the Savage Nation a little more, let us say, intriguing than just the news, I would say. And I thank you, Chris. Stay on the line. We'll send you a special gift for calling the program. Stay on the line, and Jim will take your address. Now let's move on to WBAP in Dallas, running all the way from New York to Dallas today. We go to Shane, holding on line 4 in the Savage Nation. Shane, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I remember 10 or 15 years ago, I would tell people that I listened to this show called Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, and everybody would say, oh, that guy's a radical, man. That guy is over the top. He's too much. Well, now people are starting to listen. People are starting to listen about language, culture, border, and
You mean when I started, when you first listened 15 years ago, they thought I was too right-wing, huh? Talking about our borders being overrun by illegal aliens, our language being bastardized by the multiculturalists, and our culture being trampled upon by the atheist communists who run the government, eh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And now, turn the page forward 15 years to today, everybody's listening now. Everybody's saying, oh, you know, this Michael Savage, he might have been onto something. So
He might have been onto something, and it's a shame that the candidates for the Republican presidential nomination aren't onto the same theme of borders, language, and culture. I mean, as good as some of them may be, I haven't heard them talk about borders, language, and culture. Have you?
Well, no, they just pander to different audiences. And since we're on here, I got a question for you. Is it better? Would you suggest voting for the lesser of two evils or not voting at all? I mean, that's.
Oh no! I would never say don't vote not vote at all. I absolutely. That was the biggest mistake people made, and that's how we got Barack Obama. Millions of people said, "No, I'm not voting for a rhino. I'd rather see a Democrat so the people will see how bad things can be." Well, he got reelected the second time for the same reason.
Well, that's what I tell all my friends. I said, you know.
No, you can't sit it out. You cannot sit it out because the Republican Party is not going to learn their lesson. The incumbent Tea Party that's moving forward as a strong conservative plank within the Republican Party is a growing platform within that Republican stage, and we need to add more planks to that conservative wing in order to make sure that the Republican Party becomes more conservative and more reflective of what the American voter actually wants, my friend. Thank you very much. Now let's go to KSFO Radio in San Francisco, where I began, where it all started. Roger on KSFO Radio, go ahead. What's on your mind?
You know, Michael, I was indoctrinated in far-left thought and doctrine at UCSB Santa Barbara, you know, back in the early 70s, and I was a far-left socialist. And at that time, I participated in all these anti-war demonstrations. I lived the hippie life, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But then after college, I went around the world and experienced other countries and came back to this country, and that's when I began to appreciate this country. And I say thank you so very much for your radio program all those years. I remember listening to you back in the 90s on the other station. But what you said about borders, language, and culture really hit home, because that's what it's all about. It's just absolutely very important for me.
I know. I hear you. So do you miss the hippie days, the wild days?
Well, it was fun. It was fun, but just for a season.
Well, here's the question. Why can't you be an older hippie conservative? I don't understand that. Why must you leave behind that wild side of your nature?
I am now a right-wing conservative. I consider myself a conservative, not a Republican. But
yeah, but why can't you be a wild conservative? Why must you be a stuck-in-the-mud, you know, rigid? See, this is the problem. This is the only way we're going to win hearts and minds, is that the young people have to understand, in order to love America, you don't have to give up your love of life.
I paint paintings. I'm an oil painter.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So you are still an artist, or you're more of an artist than you were when you're just dissipating your energies.
And I'm successful at it. I sell my work down here in Carmel. And
What kind of work do you do? What kind of paintings?
Traditional oil paintings, something you'd see 200 or 300 years ago. I have a seascape in front of me, and I paint every day listening to your station, because it gives me comfort that there is someone with sanity out there telling it like it is. You really make my day when I hear your program, and I paint.
Isn't that so? Oh, Roger, let me ask you, what's your name when people want to look up your paintings?
Roger Budney at Classic Art Galleries in Carmel.
Good. Why not give you a little plug? Roger, stay on the line. We'll send you a free copy of one of my books. I appreciate that call. That opens up a line at 855-407-2282. Let's have a little Rolling Stones, any one of the tunes we've played, Infidels. You as a composite audience, if you filled a stadium, would overflow the Yankee Stadium right now. You realize that, Robert, that what you're doing on that board and Jim? We're not talking to ourselves. We're not talking to 1,200 people. We're not talking to 12,000 people. We're talking to a very large audience at any time of radio listeners who scan the dial and they don't know what they're listening to. Some are regular listeners, of course. But by and large, the radio audience is about the largest there is in the talk, in the business of the news. And we have to take it very, very seriously. And my approach is this. After so many years of doing the show, which I do 3 hours a day, incidentally, 5 days a week, those who listen to me on a regular basis know my political bias, my political orientation. They know what I stand for. Borders, language, culture. You don't have to search around for what that means. There's not a nation on earth that survives that is not defined by those three words. And that's Michael Savage's definition of what a nation is defined by. I don't know of anyone who's done it better than I have. Tell me how you can boil a nation down, a definition of how a nation defines itself in a more succinct manner than I have. And what I'm saying to you is, since you know my political orientation, I don't really have to beat you up with it every second, every way. And so in order to survive this long, my little secret is to go with the natural flow of my moods and my interests for the day. And coming back, of course, to the underlying theme of borders, language, and culture. It's that simple. So yesterday, I didn't want to do politics. Yesterday, everyone was about Ted Cruz. I wasn't that interested nor excited. I was interested in disenchantment or disillusionment. And I said to you that even if Ted Cruz or one of the others get the nomination, which is unlikely, eventually you're going to be disillusioned with them, because they all disillusion us, because they're only human, number one. Now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't be a better choice than Obama, who is the most disillusioning in modern history, because of the number of scandals he's been involved in and the fact that he's quite opposite to everything he presented himself as, even to liberals. That's why I did the show on disillusionment yesterday, which I don't want to repeat today. And what is disillusionment? It's based on unrealistic expectations. And that applies to politicians. It applies to friendships. It applies to movies you go to, right? I mean, what are your realistic expectations? So let's go back now to my expectations of the Savage Nation. And I want to play for you, again, something that I only introduced in the last hour, which is clip number 6. It's my edited Savage demo. This is the tape I made before I was in radio that I sent out to, I don't know, 450 stations. Let's hear a bit of it in clip 6.
And now, direct from the towers above Manhattan, it's the Michael Savage Show. To the right of Rush and to the left of God. And now, Michael Savage.
Doctor, I'm glad I can be with you 7 nights a week because these stories are just not going away. I mean, every day in every way we're getting assaulted. Look at these questions before us today. Look at the questions before us. You know, they say that I'm to the right of Rush and to the left of God. I really don't think that that's funny. I really don't think that's funny at all. Do immigrants carry diseases? Are lawyers really humans? Is white bread safe to eat? How come women with mustaches, with peace and love and turtle-saving bumper stickers, are the most likely to cut you off on the highway? By the way, a quick note. Nazis, skinheads, KKK, don't call me. Crawl back into your bunkers. You've given true conservatives a bad name because you permit the sick leftists to paint all conservatives with a fascist brush, okay? Don't call me. Do Labor Secretary Reich's feet touch the ground when he's seated on talk shows? I don't know. But these are some of the questions that I think we have to answer here. Because these questions are very much like the legislation before the 130.
As I say, it's not bad. It's pretty good. I would book the guy. I was told afterwards by a program director that he gets, at the time, he used to get dozens and dozens of tapes a day from people who wanted to be in radio. And he told me the secret. He said, I listen to them, and if they don't grab me in 7 seconds, I throw them in the garbage can. That's the story of radio. And by the way, that's the story of radio today. It's not only the demo tape that has to get you in 7 seconds. I have to keep you attracted every 7 seconds, not every 15 minutes. And that's why I don't do too many guests. I know that if I listen to a guest on a show, radio show in particular, they usually bore me. It's not that they're bad people. It's just not compelling listening. And the thing I want to say about radio is something I've said before. It's an entertainment medium. We are not government radio. We are not a government news source. We're not in the business of the news. We're here to give you our opinions and fundamentally to, I don't know, entertain you in a way. Now, many of us think that we're more important than just being an entertainer. So be it. Some people are more important than others, I guess, in Animal Farm. And I suffer from the same delusions. I get that. But the fact of the matter is, to the powers that be, we're not that important. They ignore us. Oh, yeah, they don't like what we say about them. And maybe, just maybe, we can change things a little bit by motivating you to vote, which I did in the last election. I told you to hold your nose and vote for any Republican in order to throw the bums out. And I think I had a big effect on the election. Yes, that is true. But if you get up on the air every day and you think you're God important and the world is going to change because of what you just sneezed, you are mistaking yourself, and you're mistaking in believing you're going to change the world with your every breath. I guess I'm saying that we all need more humility in radio and everything else. I guess, and maybe I should work on that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I'd like to have Mick Jagger on the show and ask him what his secret to longevity is. I'm sure his answer would be drugs, sex, and rock and roll. It certainly wouldn't be chlorophyll juice and coffee enemas. Welcome back to the show. Different strokes for different folks. You know, there are people who are just inherently strong. They can abuse themselves and, you know, doesn't affect them. Then there are others who don't have that, the benefit of the fine protoplasmic inheritance. And they have to watch their step. All right, let's go to the callers, and I'm going to play some other stuff and tell you what I'm planning over the next 21 years. Yeah, right. I haven't yet consulted with the guy in heaven about that one. But Sam on KSFO Radio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for 21 years. Congratulations on 21 years. I've been listening about 15, 16 years. A friend of mine turned on to your show early 2000s. His name was Phil. We used to work together doing carpet from time to time. He said, you got to hear this guy, Michael Savage. Ever since I heard you, I've just been mesmerized by you. I mean, because you speak truth, and that resonates with me, and I think with your audience. And every time I turn you on, it's just like, no matter what you talk about, it keeps me on the edge of my seat. I just enjoy everything you say.
Isn't that interesting? Well, no, that's what it comes down to. Hemingway said, and when I was a young writer, trying to understand what it is to be a writer, Hemingway wrote that the truth has a certain ring to it. And you can't fake it. I mean, either people hear it or they don't hear it. And I guess in my case, you hear it and you like it, and that's what makes for an audience, correct?
Correct. Yes, it does. And just because you speak the truth, I mean, I tell all the people about your show and the things you talk about, and
And I live in a pretty liberal area. Actually, I'm calling from the Warren, Ohio area.
I want to thank you for being a loyal listener. Stay in the line for a special gift. Stop the coming Civil War. I'll be right back to take your calls and continue the 21st anniversary show on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Blasting out from San Francisco to the world of infidels, from Ground Zero for liberal insanity, the land where Jerry Brown, the warmest fanatic, believes that anyone who presents evidence to the contrary is not only an infidel, but a, let us say, a rebel that needs to be taken care of by the government. You see, the mark of a person who is an ignoramus is one who says all the science is in and all scientists agree. That's the mark not of a scientific statement, but of a zealot. It's a religious statement. It's along the lines of Al-Qaeda or ISIS, where only they know the truth. And don't confuse them with the facts because their mind is made up. That's what we live with here in the state of California under this goofball. And what's sad about it is that I gave money to Jerry Brown years ago because he had put together a school, a military school, and I went to a fundraiser. I was very impressed with it. It was a military school for inner city kids. I can't believe I'd wake up to a man as intelligent as he, who would be as bigoted as he is when it comes to science. Because the first rule of science, boys and girls, is that there are no absolutes. Let me repeat that over and over again. It's something that you teach a seventh grader. In science, there are no absolutes. In religion, there are absolutes, which is why we're facing the insanity of ISIS. They believe they have the absolute truth. We know that they're wrong. After all, I don't believe that beheading, raping, murdering, and kidnapping and enslaving people is in the Quran. And if it is, well, I want nothing to do with that insanity, nor should the world. But that's a topic for another day. That's the mark of someone who says that there's an absolute. They're religious fanatics. It does not apply to a discussion about science. It wouldn't matter if 98% of scientists agreed with something. It still doesn't prove it's 100% correct. And the mark of science is that it's always open to change. That's the mark of a scientific discovery, is that it's open to change. Don't you understand that? And that's why science brought us the Age of Enlightenment. It was because of open-mindedness, not because of the stupidity of the Jerry Browns and the Al Gores of the world who say, this is the truth. Anyone who doesn't believe it should be punished. That's the mark of someone saying that the earth is flat. And anyone who says the earth is flat is a good man. Anyone who says the earth is not flat is a bad man. That's what we have now with the warmists out there who are convinced of their stupidity. And that's the danger we are in. And that's why I'm not talking about science today on the Savage Nation. Instead, I want to stick to the 21st anniversary program. But I couldn't help putting that in for some reason. I don't know where it came from, but that's the beauty of Michael Savage. So let's go back to the 21st anniversary program, and let's take some calls. Cheryl on WMAL in Washington, D.C. By the way, since the show opened 2 years ago on WMAL, I've revolutionized radio in Washington, D.C. The ratings are through the roof for a couple of reasons. They're very high in Washington on MAL, and one of the reasons, I believe, is that no one's ever heard anyone like me in Washington. Cheryl on WMAL in Washington, welcome to the program.
Good day, Dr. Savage. It's a blessing. I wanted to commend you. I was happy to find you. I hadn't heard you for about 6 months, and then all of a sudden my radio was just pressed on that particular position the other day, and I was so glad to find you. I am an environmentalist liberal from the 60s. I accepted Christ through a black street evangelist late in life, and I am now a Christian writer and have read through the Bible and want to just commend you because you have got the wisdom of Solomon.
Well, that's nice to hear. Who doesn't want to hear that they're Solomon-esque? I appreciate that. And do you agree with me that science, by definition, has no absolutes?
Well, I'll tell you, and it was it says Isaiah scriptures once I read the whole Bible.
Well, no, I didn't talk about scriptures. I talked about science. I'm trained in science with an actual doctorate from a great university. But you don't have to be a genius to understand what I just said. What I said is that the definition of science is that in science there are no absolutes. meaning there's no absolute this or absolute that, as the warmest would have you believe. All right, well, think about that one and get back to us, because that's my position. Maybe I should put it in my next book. It seems to be missing from so many people's understanding of what science actually is. 855-400-7282, WJR in Detroit, another awesome, awesome flamethrower station. Everyone in radio has always wanted to be on these signature heritage stations. You know that, don't you? And what's interesting is it took me my whole life to get on these stations. And to me, there's still a magic. When I say ABC, or I say MAL, or I say R, I say MAL, I say BAP, I say those stations, I feel the audience. I feel the streets. I smell the smoke. You get it? WJR, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Dr. Savage, I remember you about five, 6 years ago, you were warning about the public pensions and how they might bankrupt cities and local municipalities. Well, Detroit just went through one of the nation's largest bankruptcies, and the judge that retired, I don't know if I could say his name or not, but he turned around, it was in a paper, he warned that the public pensions are going to turn around and bankrupt the local municipalities. You were way ahead of the game there. I used to write letters to the editor and start warning. I was just saying, this guy was saying it. Michael Savage was saying this stuff.
John, it's true, because they rewarded union members with pensions that were unsupportable, and that they did in order to keep them throwing money into the pension funds and robbing them blind. And, of course, they never had to pay the piper. And now cities have unfunded pensions in the billions and billions and trillions of dollars nationally that nobody could ever fund, and everybody knows what has to happen. And that means the pension funds have to be drawn back. The pensions, rather, have to be drawn back. There's a city here in the Bay Area, San Rafael, that has unfunded pensions of several billion dollars. A small city. They rewarded themselves with pensions that are unsupportable. And many of these criminals retire early. They leave the state. They move to obscure places. And they say, screw everybody that I left behind because I don't care about it. That's your idea of great community standards, isn't it? Well, look, this is coming to an end, and I don't even want to get into the pension discussion right now because it's a very sensitive issue, but there's no way these pensions are ever going to be paid out, ever. It can't happen. And so here we are. Let's go back to some of the other topics on the Savage Nation. And I opened the show talking about the Rolling Stones and the great documentary I saw last night called Gimme Shelter, set in 1969-1970 at Altamont. That the concert at Altamont was the premier part of that. And, of course, everyone remembers the Altamont concert. 300,000 people, miles of cars, and the deaths. Four people died at that concert. A baby was born. It's an astounding thing to watch something as big as this unfold in a documentary. What it takes to put on a concert is awesome. The support staff ranges in the hundreds of people. People don't understand that. It's one of the reasons I don't do a concert tour, is I don't have the staff, nor do I want to get one. So, okay, fine. I could sign up with a lecture, you know, agency, and they'll do it for me and all of that. But that's besides the point. But I asked you a loaded question. I looked in that audience watching that documentary last night called Gimme Shelter, and I saw the women. I saw the men. I saw the cigarettes, the marijuana. I saw the LSD. I saw the people whacked out of their gourds, dancing to the music, hysterically insane. They didn't look like they were having a good time, by the way, in retrospect. As I looked at the hippie faces, no one looked like they were having a good time. They looked scared, and they looked stoned. They didn't look happy. And the more they tried to dance like they were wild, to me now, to an older man looking back at those times, the more the girls stripped off their clothes and danced wildly, the more I knew she was desperate and was, she just wasn't feeling what she projected she was feeling. And the more the guy, you know, did something wild, you know he was desperate as well. And it reminds me of George Orwell's famous quote when he was so anti-communist after having been infatuated by the hopes and promises of socialism. He became a radical anti-communist when he saw what Stalin had done with socialism and what Hitler had done with socialism. And he wrote the great book Animal Farm, but he also wrote some essays. And one of them, in one of those essays, he said, the more I hear people screaming, I am free, I am free, I am free, the more I hear their chains rattling. Well, that's what the documentary on the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont looked like to me. And I asked you if you were one of those hippies, Have you changed? Are you now a conservative? And I have a caller, Tom, on WABC. I don't know what he's going to say exactly. I suspect on this topic, though, it is. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage, congratulations on 21 years of great radio.
Thanks, my friend.
You're welcome, and listen, I'm one of them, and let me tell you, the smarter hippies, the real ones, the original hippies, became libertarians. We don't want to be bothered. We want smaller government. We want to be left alone. We want to make our own decisions. We want to live with our decisions. That's what the real...
Well, that's, I said that 2 weeks ago, and people who are just not understanding of the bigger picture didn't understand me. I said, in many ways, my politics have never changed. I've always wanted to be left alone by a government. I always wanted to be free. I always wanted a government to lay off me. I always wanted fewer regulations. How have I really changed from that time?
And I'll tell you something else. The real end of the movement was Woodstock, not Altamont. At Woodstock, that was the gathering of the tribes. After they made the movie about Woodstock, every person, I'm going to say the bad word, wanted to grow his hair long and become cool.
I get it. But your main point is that you became a libertarian as an early hippie because fundamentally you're still a hippie.
Absolutely. I want to be left alone. I want to live my own life. I'll be responsible for my decisions.
So obviously you hate at Barack Obama's draconian policies. Is that correct?
From the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, he's about as phony as they come and more so as dangerous as they come. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to another caller in New York City. God, we're almost out of time in these first 2 hours. And I know many of you, your stations drop the show after 2 hours. And many of you stay on for the third hour. I'm going to go the full 3 hours as usual with the memories and the callers and the interviews and the family stories and memories from the first show to the last show and tell you what I'm planning. Maybe I should tell you what I'm planning right now, what I'm thinking. I've been very agitated these last few months in radio. It's because I know that I'm being nudged by certain factors to change my professional life. I don't mean leave radio. This will always be part of me if I have the power of speech and I have the luck to have the stations I have through Cumulus and others. That's not what I'm saying. I need something else. I need some contact with people. And so I'm thinking about how to do that and how to reach a broader audience. So I don't know exactly where I'm going to go with this. I may do some live appearances. I may do television. I've had some offers. Not a long-form TV appearance. I don't mean Fox News or anything like that. That's a wholly different art form. It's very difficult. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And that's not what I'm speaking about. But some limited television. I'm thinking of taking the Skype feed of my radio show. There you are, Robert and Jim. And running the Skype feed, which I have every day, on my website or an alternate channel. So you can see the show live as it's being done. I see me, Teddy, eating the Thai food. Teddy doesn't eat the Thai food. I do. My notes, my books, the order, the disorder. I think that would be intriguing for many people. And then open you up to some of my archives. Things of that nature. Somebody wants to do a movie on the Savage Life. That's been off and on. And I've said yes, then I didn't have the time with the lawsuits. There's talk now of a Michael Savage documentary. Picture that in the theater, which says The Savage Nation on a marquee. Don't tell me you wouldn't go to that. And just do the math. 10 million people, $10, $100 million gross. That's simple. I mean, just do the big numbers. Make believe you're in Hollywood. Why wouldn't they want to do it? And someone approached one of the biggest liberals in Hollywood and said, look, I want to do the Michael Savage documentary. He said, would you distribute it? The guy says, look, I hate his politics, but I'm a businessman. He said, of course I would do it. That was 5 years ago, and the audience has only gotten bigger. Just picture it now, okay? Picture a marquee in your neighborhood, the Savage Nation, right? You'd go to that, and so would everybody you know go to that. What's that about? It'd be my life story and how it ties into the American story. WAAV Radio. Ari, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, I was at Woodstock. I got there the second day, and I came over the hill, came in the back way through the woods, and Swami Satchitananda was on the stage in an ashram upstate New York. And he said, American youth are the hope of the world to 500,000 stone kids who couldn't even find their clothes.
Isn't that funny? Well, yeah, there you go. Hillary wants them to vote at 12, probably.
Yeah, but, you know, the psychedelic movement, and you had it there in San Francisco, it what it does to you, it blows you out of your time continuum identity, your identity, your name, your local culture. It blows you, it blows that out of you, and you get into your central nervous system and then try to figure out what it means.
So. You know, you're raising a very intriguing point. As I was watching that mob in that documentary called Gimme Shelter, I said to myself, these are the people who shape the world we're now living in. And in this emptiness, in this void, enters the scourge, the cancer of ISIS. Because the West was hollowed out by the psychedelic movement. That's exactly what I saw last night. And though I loved watching the Rolling Stones, and I think they're the most talented band in history, they fundamentally may as well have been four devils dancing on the stage. And looking back, I don't think that's too far from the truth either, especially with the entire drug, sex, and rock and roll mentality. It has demolished the nation like a cancer. I'll be right back. Thank you, Ari.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, as the second hour winds to a conclusion here on the Savage Nation, I know many of you have to leave me, unfortunately, and most of you will stay the next hour for some other surprises and visitations into the past 21 years, and I invite your calls at 855-400-7282. For those of you who cannot get enough of me, I guess you could catch me online after the show turns off from your station or whatever, or at night, or you can go to michaelsavage.com or this and that. Many of you love my family stories, and the book was published 2 years ago by Harper Collins entitled Train Tracks. It may still be available, where most of the great family stories that you've come to love were in there, such as Love by the Sewer Plant, Louie and the Monkey, Dead Man's Pants, Shady Podiatrist and the Jaguar, My First Dead Body, Fat Al's Tuna. You know the story. You know the drill. Anyway, it's been fun having you. Let's look forward to another 21 years, right, on the Savage Nation. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we've come a long way, haven't we, on the Savage Nation? 21 years together. Some of you have been listening all these 20 years, some of you only 21 days, and some of you only 21 minutes. But I've been manning the microphone for 21 straight years, and God only knows what tomorrow may or may not bring, but here we are, and we're trying to celebrate it. I am anyway, with your help, and I'm playing some interviews I've done, some family stories, and some famous callers that you may remember. Now, I started the first hour by giving you a snippet of one of the most important interviews ever done in the history of the media. And I'm not understating that one nor overstating it. I've never seen another interview with him. It's not available. Dr. Samuel Cohen invented the neutron bomb, the most advanced battlefield weapon ever developed. And I was shocked to learn on my program in 1999 from Dr. Cohen, who has since deceased, that George Bush Sr., demolished our entire arsenal of neutron bombs, while China still has them, and Russia has them, and God knows what other nations still have them. And for the life of me, I still don't understand why Bush demolished our neutron bombs. And I want to play for you, since you've tuned in and you've been waiting for something special, a little piece of the second part of the Samuel Cohen interview in part two on the Savage Nation. Robert, please.
Dr. Cohen, therefore, if the Chinese are developing such neutron weapons for battlefield use, why is this not being reported by the media?
Pardon me, they've already developed them. That comes out in the Cox report.
Mm-hmm. And they've developed them with our technology, with our know-how?
They've developed them partially with our assistance, which was done deliberately. Close to 20 years ago or so. They didn't steal the secrets. We gave them.
When you say we,
secrets.
When you say we, Doctor, are you capable or willing to tell us who the we are?
The United States government. the executive branch of the United States government made that decision for their own infinitely wise reasons, which in retrospect turn out to be pretty poor.
You said the executive branch gave China our entire nuclear treasury of secrets. Is that a fair statement?
Approximately.
Okay, approximately. That's fair enough. Can you tell us why they might have done that?
This all began in the 1980s when there seemed to be a serious threat against the Red Chinese coming from the Soviet Union, which was all full of nuclear weapons, up to their ears. Far more, I might say, than we, the United States, had. Now, the question was, we didn't want a war to start there. It could have been calamitous. What could we do to help the Chinese, the Red Chinese, help themselves toward defending against a possible Soviet attack? The Chinese, for some time, had been seriously interested in the neutron bomb, for example.
Okay, let's pause right there. Now, if you had a fair media, this would be headline news on every website tomorrow. Am I right, Robert? What Michael Savage just played for you has been played by no other radio show in the history of talk radio. It is a far more important interview than that with Ted Cruz. It is a far more interview than that with Rand Paul. It's actually far more far-reaching than another interview with Barack Obama on issues that we already know about. Did you notice what Dr. Cohen just said? We did not want war between Russia and China because it would have been calamitous. And yet we have a reckless administration right now who is provoking war with Russia, sending columns of armored personnel carriers through Europe on land roads rather than via train where they're normally transported in a purposeful provocation with Vladimir Putin. That's the kind of idiocy that we have in the U.S. government today, not even understanding. This idiotic sorority that runs America does not even understand what they're dealing with. They have no judgment whatsoever. The world is on the brink of a disaster. Look at the Arab Spring and what it has wrought. Thank Hillary Clinton for that one. I don't want to hear about the email scandals. Talk to her about the Arab Spring and how that's worked out. But nevertheless, let's not go down that road. What I just played for you is an interview with Samuel Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb, from the archives of my show dated May 31, 1999. The full interview will eventually be listed up on my archive lists one day. I'm trying to put it all together. I've been working on it for 8 years, believe it or not, of getting all of the best shows and putting them up there, and you can download them. I don't have it ready to go. But I want you to understand what you just heard. If I were part of the cartel that controls talk radio, this would be a banner headline on every website in the country. But because I am a man alone and independent, I don't belong to any fraternity, not in radio or elsewhere. It's the way I choose. I'm the perennial outsider. You heard it, and you may not read it anywhere, okay? Now let's go on to something else on the Savage Nation that I want to do for you right off the get-go, you know. Actually, there's so many callers I want to get to. I better get to them first before I get to the caller Sid, who was tortured in World War II by the Nazis from 12-19-14, or the caller Joe on suicide from 8-13-14. I've got to get to those as well. I want to go to WABC. Ralph, you've been holding. Fire away. You're on the air with Michael Savage and millions of others.
Well, it's the improvisational style. It's the stream of consciousness. It's the ability to go with the flow, Michael. You know, that's what sets you apart. And you know something? When I hear of a controversial issue and I tune into you, I never know what to expect. And that's what makes it so wonderful. I can go down the dial and check out these I don't know what they are, but they I know where they're coming from before I don't have to venture down there. I tune into you for the truth and I get it. And maybe it's not the popular truth. Maybe it's not what everyone wants to hear. Maybe it's not what everyone expects to hear from you, the conservative, but you can't escape your heart. And that's what makes you great.
And I recognize your voice, Ralph. You're the actor in Manhattan, correct?
I am, yeah.
Amazing, truly amazing. So let's go back to my opening gambit here on the show. I played the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. I reflected on that audience going back to the hippie era. You're in a world of those types of people, correct?
Yes, yes, I am.
And are they all still really, really, really that so-called progressive as they would pretend to be?
No, they're not. And we, you know, I've been down this road with them, and I say to them, and, you know, I don't come out on the conservative end all the time, and nor do they, but when they're afraid to admit it, Michael, because I'll tell you something, in this business, you can be blacklisted. In other words, if I go in for a part, and they know my political bent, they'll show me a script, and, you know, they'll just say, well, next.
I know how it works. I have a few people in Hollywood who face the same blacklist, and I myself face the blacklist every day, and the liberals are the worst blacklisters in American history. They make the McCarthy era look like a benign era in American history. These phony liberals are devastatingly evil. You know that, and I know that, Ralph, which is why I am who I am. And I've never knuckled under to them, and I'm not going to start today. This show could have been bigger a long time ago had I decided to do so or joined the cartel of fraternity boys and talk radio. But I choose to be a man alone and marching to my own drummer, Ralph. And I really appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying today's show. What do you like so far? Don't you agree with me that the Cohen interview was in a class by itself?
Well, that interview was so interesting. See, I'm not captivated by this nonsense that I hear each day. When I hear an intellectual like that man, and I'm sorry that he's gone because he can maybe verify a few things. When I hear the content of what he was saying and the explosiveness, if you pardon the pun, of what he was saying, Michael, I mean, that the fact that that just was on your program and it didn't go worldwide is just due to...
It's amazing. It's worldwide news. It's something that should be picked up by every news service in the country. And if we had a fair media, Fox would be calling saying, I don't care about Roger Ailes' boycott against you, Savage. We've got to get you on the show to talk about that interview from 1999. What is it that the inventor of the neutron bomb said? But you're not going to hear that coming from Martha Washington and company. They live in their own bubble.
Well, it's too darn bad because you know something? Those who are intellectually honest, those who want to hear the truth, they're sheltered from it, Michael. We don't get to hear it unless we have the inside track. And
well, you know, I got to do this. You know, it's not the day for it, Ralph. I've got to play that interview with Sam Cohen in its entirety one day. It can't be today because, you know, the audience is too diverse and I don't know what they really want to hear and I got to play snippets. But what he said, that we had an arsenal of neutron bombs. George Bush disassembled them. And we gave the technology away in the late 70s. This is a story that is worth telling over and over again. We are sitting here like sitting ducks, and now we have a reckless presidency on the road to a war with Russia. What worse? How much worse can it get than this?
Well, you know everyone's into the NCAA. Nobody cares about these things. They're making their brackets like adults that they are. And in fact, we're crumbling, and they're worrying about some guys in shorts and tank shirts running around the basketball court.
Well, Ralph, you and I see the world in some ways through the same set of eyes. Ralph, stay in the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm really very glad, frankly, that you listened today. That opens up one line at 855-407-2822. When I come back, we'll continue with the 21st anniversary show of the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. All right, well, there's the headline now on the Drudge Report about the plane crash, which we've been wondering about. And it's a pretty incendiary headline, and we don't know whether there's truth to this or not. But from early on, plane plunged for 8 minutes, no mayday, and it disintegrated over the Alps. In other words, it was disintegrating before it hit the mountain. What do you mean it plunged for 8 minutes and no mayday? It sounds to me like a little hijack job with a little explosion. Oh, but no, there's no, move on, there's nothing to see here. There's no terrorism going to Dusseldorf. There's no terrorism going in that area. No, it's all under control by the world leaders. Don't worry about a thing. It's a terrible story, but witnesses on the ground heard noises before the impact. The plane had been inspected Monday. Crash experts face a mystery of drop without distress call. They did find the black box, and God knows if we'll ever hear what's on it. I have no idea what happened. We can only guess that the worst happened. And so there they are again, the religion of, well, let's let it go at that. It's a day for celebration, not a day for indignation. Let's go to the callers at 855-407-282. Let me take the first caller that I've been holding on for, who's been holding on for a very long time. J.D. No, I don't want to talk to that lunatic. Tom on WBOB line 3. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this is Tom in Lecanto, Florida, listening on WBOB. Michael, on October 23rd, 2012, when you returned to the air, I was your very first caller, and I want to right now I want to wish you a blessed 21st anniversary with many happy and healthy returns.
Well, okay, well, you made it to another show, and I thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Internet, Embry, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, Embry, San Antonio, Texas, live streaming. You asked what were some of my favorite recollections. I think the favorite thing of mine that you do, and this happens occasionally, I love it, is that you will bring out an anthropological point about a group of people, whatever, and apply it to something that's happening now, and you will document that with historical precedent, and I find that absolutely fascinating. I love the politics, too, but that's probably...
Yeah, I sometimes do branch out into some sweep of history that has some relevance to today. For example, when I looked at ISIS's blitzkrieg, I compared it to the to Genghis Khan. And it was shortly thereafter that some scholars had said the same thing, that the last time they had seen such a pillaging and raping and devastation of libraries was not to be found in modern history. You had to go back to Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan to see such insanity going on the world stage while the United Nations does nothing and Barack Obama looks the other way and doesn't even call it Islamic. Thank you very much for that, that note. Yes, I do attempt to bring in history where I think it's relevant, where it won't bore the audience to death. And those are the kinds of teachers I always like the best, which is the teacher who didn't hold it over my head and make me feel like I was stupid. The teacher who drew me into the conversation about the subject, drew me into the conversation rather than beat me over the head with the conversation or the monologue he was having. You know what I'm saying? I've always liked those teachers because they're the natural teachers, the ones I had who didn't intimidate you, and they encourage you to learn, and they encourage you to listen, and moreover, they encourage you to talk. I think that's what I try to do the most. Sometimes I don't hit it. Some days I'm in a cranky mood. I'm just a grumpy old guy, and I just don't have it, you know, and I get angry. But those are not my best days, although some people like those better than any other days. And I know that many of you love my great sweep of history and the great history of the Muslim empire, how it grew in 23 years and conquered a big portion of the globe, not through the message of peace, but through the message of fire, flame, rape, war, kidnapping, and devastation. In other words, we are reliving history. And again, we're facing a scourge that can only be stopped with a greater scourge. And there's only one thing that people like that understand, and that's total annihilation. A total and absolute destruction is the only thing that will stop them. This nonsense of the president, who will not even say Islamic, when Muslim scholars, remember the female scholar who said that unless you say it's Islamic, they're liable to take over the world? She's a Muslim. She's a Muslim intellectual. She'll be on the show, by the way, on Thursday. Yes, we're in very bad trouble when we have deniers at the highest level, perhaps collaborators at the highest level. The CIA director will not call it Islamic. Did you know that as well? What's that about? Is it some kind of conspiracy? Everyone's asking whose side is they on? Are they on? Whose side are they on? What team are they playing for?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. As hard as I do and still have as much passion as I do for the world. And here I am. I remember seeing that movie last night, that documentary. I cannot pronounce the name, the Maisley brothers, the Maisels, the great documentary filmmakers of the 60s and 70s. I hope they're still around. But that Rolling Stone Give Me Shelter thing is something to see. When you look at the faces of the audience at Altamont in particular, and you realize
Those girls and boys, if they're still living, are now running the world in so many ways. And the minds that were blown with drugs at that time are the minds that are destroying America at this time. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How many of those people, what percentage, woke up to the damage that was done to their own brains and souls and the damage they're now doing to this country? 2%? 3%? Many of you listened to this show, by the way, who were former hippies. You understand that you were having a good time, but it had no real meaning other than what it felt like at the time. And yet we have people running the country at the highest levels of government who are still acting as though it's suddenly 1969 and they're part of the anti-war movement and they're on the right side of things and they know everything and everyone else is a moron. Meanwhile, you have almost provoked the world into a nuclear exchange with Russia. You have unleashed the ISIS organization, if you want to call it that, which is more virulent than the Nazi movement of the 1930s. The only thing ISIS lacks is an air force and a navy. You have hollowed out our military because of your hippie mentality, and you have distorted what science is with your false notions that all the science agrees that man is destroying the earth through global warming. You have no idea what science is to even say a thing like that. And so that's why I use that show, Gimme Shelter, that I watched last. I watched 2 hours of it as a documentary in a dark room with utter fascination. And as I searched the crowd and I watched the murders with the pool sticks and the gun. I mean, it's an interesting story, the Hells Angels murder thing. It was misinterpreted, incidentally. The guy that they killed had pulled out a gun. He had tried to jump on the stage. They threw him off the stage, and then he came back enraged, and he pulled out a long, it looks like a 22 caliber pistol, and they stabbed him to death in plain English. I'm not justifying it, but it was self-defense. And incidentally, the Hells Angel who stabbed that guy to death was tried for murder. And he was found not guilty by reason of self-defense, just as a side note. But three other people died. One was run over, this, a drug overdose, a woman gave birth. It was all astounding. It was a turning point for the whole hippie movement. And as I say, watching that, I wonder at the world, at the society we're living in now, the whole Western world seems to have been crumbling from that time forward. As entertaining as it was, and I loved watching it, as entertaining as it was. Blowing the circuits of your mind has helped you in life? Blowing the circuits of your soul has helped you in life? Are you serious? Well, you see them walking around like the zombies that they are here, the liberals of today, so sure of themselves without any knowledge of what Obama has done to the world. Every time I see an Obama bumper sticker, I get enraged. I want to run up with a list of the 21 crimes he's committed against America and humanity, but I don't bother. I have a radio show to do it. But I'm sure you feel the same way. These are the brainwashed masses, and unfortunately, they're the majority right now. Let's go to some of the callers on this 21st anniversary program on the Savage Nation. Let's go to KSFO. Ray, welcome to the Savage Nation program. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, congratulations on your 21 years in radio.
Thank you, sir.
You make it that far. You won't remember this, but I remember I was your last caller. Actually, I have two items if we got time. I was your last caller on your local show before you went national, and you were asking us what we had learned from the Savage Nation. And maybe you can fill this out. I remember part of it. You told us that if they call you a right-winger, you call them a left-winger. If they call you a homophobe, you answer back immediately heterophobe. If they call you a religious zealot, you call them a non-religious zealot. Do you remember?
Yeah, I know how to deal with them. Yes, I do. So what? You use some of these techniques on the psycho libs from hell?
Well, what it teaches us is that we don't have to cower and we don't have to apologize, that they don't have an advantage.
No, all they have is audacity. But you know what? I have audacity, too. I give it right back to them in their face. Who do they think they are? They walk around like a pompously self-righteous and they know everything. You could tell them what the reality is and give it back to them in their face. Mirror them. That's all. Call you a homophobe? Call them a heterophobe. That's all.
There you go. And now you were on KGO before you went to KSFO, and you came on after a super lib who called himself the Lion of the Left, who's now in jail for trafficking pornography. But
I often think about poor old Bernie. Where is he?
He's still in the California penal system. But I think you nicknamed him the gerbil from, no, the lemming from the left, I think is what you called him. And, you told a story, Michael. Maybe you can recount this.
didn't he urinate in your hat or something like that at the station? He was so.
Well, one of them did. It could have been him or Mr. Softy did it. And I got so angry I bought another copy of the same hat. I think I kept the original urinated hat. I washed it out and put it in the archives and then bought another one exactly like it. But I never forgave them. They were very small-minded men. They never amounted to anything. And they were trying to be the impediments in my way. They were just jealous. I don't want to think about those years and those ways. All I can say is this, that if I had let anything stand in my way in the early days, I wouldn't have gotten where I am today. It's the same today. There are people who hector me out of pure jealousy and rage because, you know, it's the old story. If you have more talent than the other guys, are you going to love you for it or what? No, he's going to be jealous. He's going to do everything else to nip at you and bite at you and put you down. You can't focus on that or you'll never get anywhere in life. You have to overlook it, and it applies to a bigger picture as well, whatever your field is. There are going to be people always trying to put impediments in your way, and you mustn't let them succeed. It's been one of the successes I've had in life is learning how to overcome the small-minded people. It's that simple. So, Ray, you learn not to take you-know-what from libs, all because of the Savage Nation, eh?
Well, you know, in the California school system and even, you know, in life in general, you're supposed to not have conflict. You're supposed to just back away from it. And you know what? That gives the liberals everything that they want. They will continue to stomp on you and stomp over you. And unless you stand up for yourself and push back, well, look where we're at. I mean, we have a president.
Yeah, look where we are. Look at what Obama gets away with because people are afraid to say a word to him because of you know what. Why does he get away with it? Just because he's a liberal? There have been plenty of other rotten, stinking, corrupt liberals before. Why is he above the fray? There's only one reason. Because of liberal white guilt. They're afraid to say one word to him or his wife abusing a taxpayer on a daily basis, wrecking the office of the presidency, debasing the country on a daily basis. Of course there's outrage in the land. But anyway, thank you for the call, my friend. 855-400-7282. That opens up a line. But I want to play something for you. We don't have much time. I can't do it all. I could do five shows like this today. I want to play a piece from the years gone past that I haven't seen in a while. It's The Shady Podiatrist and the Jaguar, which will only play a couple of minutes of. It's really a charming story. Let's hear it.
I had a friend whose father was a shady podiatrist, as you can tell by the title of the story. And he had a weird podiatry practice in the back of his apartment. In I think it was Sunnyside, Queens, somewhere in that area. I have no idea what the man did in the back. He was a very strange father. Everybody was afraid of the guy. You'd go, and he was very tall. The father was very tall. He dressed kind of shabbily, but upscale, but it was all tattered. And he always had a weird look on his face. And when the father was not in the apartment, the son, who became the Anglophile later on to cover up his origins, would take you in his father's podiatry studio, clinic, or whatever it was, office. And he'd say with a snicker, "I want you to see my father's rack," where he stretched people or something. And there was always something weird about this guy's podiatry practice. I don't even know what a podiatrist did. Something to do with the feet, but I think this guy did something with another part of the anatomy by implication. Now you speed the clock up. The son who grows up in the shady apartment with a shady father, who was off-beaten, guy didn't become a real doctor, has to, throw dirt on his origins. So he becomes more Brooks Brothers than anybody we know. He adopts an English accent. And the last I heard, he had married a rich girl, oh, this is a long time ago, and became a banker with the umbrella and the whole deal.
Well, there's more to the story, but I cut it off there because it had such flowery language. It's just well written. I think that story of the podiatrist and the Jaguar is in I don't know if that made it into Train Tracks. It was an early iteration of that in Psychological Nudity, but it's a great radio story, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Maybe we have another snippet I can play for you of another a little story. Everybody likes Fat Al's Tuna. I could do that one, or Half Man and Half Woman in Long Beach, or First Autopsy, or The Chestnut Man, or Louie and the Monkey, or I don't know which one to do. I honestly don't know. Why don't we just do Fat Al's Tuna, since it's easier to digest on the
Now, Fat day. Al's Tuna, that's a recipe. When I was a boy working as a busboy in the Shanks Paramount Hotel, I saw how tuna was really made. Fat Al was a 350-pounder. Now, when he made tuna in a tureen, he didn't use a mixed mass. They used his hairy forearm.
He got a cigarette dangling from the right side of his mouth, and the kitchen was banging and bustling, and the people were out there eating a ninth meal of the afternoon. And he was mixing a tuna. He would throw the cans of tuna in. They'd throw in vats of mayonnaise. And the guy stirred it with his arm. He rolled up his undershirt. You see, you got to visualize this. Fat Al would lean over that tureen with the arm, the big, giant Italian arm, full of hair. And his arm was mayonnaise thick up to his armpit. And he's got the arm moving around. And he said, "You see, kid, you keep moving it till you get a nice creamy consistency." Meanwhile, the ash has fallen off his cigarette. I guess that helped the taste of the tuna because the people never complained. They loved it. Now, that's a tuna. There is a proper tuna with a little sweat and arm hair. Now, that is a good tuna fish recipe. Other than that, I don't want to talk about recipes.
That's a funny story. I swear to God, listening to my own rendition of that story, and this occurred how many years ago? I can't remember. 1959? I don't remember. 60? I don't know the year. And it's like when I hear the guy, the voice with the cigarette, I can still see him to this day. He took a liking to me and he gave me his little secret on how to make tuna fish with his arm. You know, I miss the bustle of a kitchen to this day. I think I'm in the wrong business. Here I am alone in front of a microphone and a computer screen or three and a dog. Why am I not in a hotel dining room screaming and yelling at everybody, telling them to get the orders out on the table? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, here we come to the end of three straight hours of the Savage Nation. Not bad after 21 years on the radio, eh? Let's have a round of applause for me, Michael Savage. I could go another 3 hours if I had to. One thing you can't say about me is, he lacks stamina. That guy sure couldn't take it. Or let us say, he doesn't have the fire left in him. Can't say that about me. Whether you like my politics or not, I'm still here and I intend to be here for quite a few years to come. And with God's will, I shall be. Now, before the show comes to an end, I have a rather tragically phenomenal piece of radio to play for you. A while ago, I had a gentleman called Sid from New York when I was talking about mothers and fathers who would behave badly toward their children, how they manhandled them or, I think, tortured them. And this guy called out of nowhere. Let's listen to clip five. But I want to go back to the crime and punishment stories of the Savage Nation. And that's the how were you punished as a child, because some of them are amazing. Sid, by the way, called in the middle of this because he was tortured in World War II. He wasn't talking about a child's punishment. You know, we're hearing a lot about waterboarding. You want to hear what real torture is? Here's Sid on WABC. Sid, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm here. Time, even after all the torture, I was captured by three German soldiers, and they wanted to make me talk, and I wouldn't talk. And then the more I kept quiet, the more they beat me. They broke my back, they broke my chest, they smashed my head in, and I still didn't talk, and they left me for dead in the snow. So I'm still here today, and I listen to that Diane Frankenstein talk about torture. She should be put in a cell with one of the prisoners and see how well they live.
Good for you. Now, Sid, I hear you have real outrage. You know what real torture is, and you still wouldn't talk.
Stand why they allow people like Diane Frankenstein to open up that big mouth of hers and put the CIA down. If it wasn't for the CIA, this country would be in the garbage pan.
Sid, God bless you, man. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
A call that was. Unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, you start ISIS, a show like this. Waterboarding. They have no idea what they're talking about. As I said to you, liberalism is a mental disorder. And not only will it kill all of us, it's already killed our soul and most of our mental energy. It's liable to kill us physically if this keeps up. And I have an answer for you. You know what the answer is, and I've given it to you every day for the last 21 years, and most recently in Stop the Coming Civil War, because I still think that these maniacs are liable to drive this nation to a civil war and the world to a world war. Look at what they've done with Russia. They took a natural ally and turned them into an enemy. The psycho in the White House is sending a convoy of heavy weapons down the highways of Germany and Belgium just to rattle some sabers, thinking that there may not be any consequences because, after all, he is Barack Obama, and everybody knows he's the most powerful, intelligent man on the planet. Let us pray to God
that somebody with better sense than he steps in and stops him before he provokes not a Cold War, but a nuclear exchange. And if you think I'm the only one saying this, well, you good liberals better pay attention to the fact that the very same thing, that very same warning, was given about 6 weeks ago by none other than the former darling of the liberals, Mikhail Gorbachev, who said that this rhetoric has to stop, these movements have to stop, or there could be a nuclear war. And yet Barack Obama, instead of retreating from his insane position, has escalated it. Why, you ask yourself? Keep asking yourself that question, because there's only one answer. And you know what that answer is. Well, it's been great. It's been 21 great years. Let's hope there are another number of years left in me and in radio and on these stations, if not more. I want to thank you for listening all these years or all these days, minutes, or hours to the Savage Nation. And God bless America. Good night and good luck.